Welcome to the Introverted Apostle, the podcast for Christian introverts who love Jesus and their faith, but struggle with the social side of church. I am Roman Asbill, a proud introvert, and I mean proud in the best sense of the word.
And I'm David Wilson, equally introverted, even though my wife says I'm not, and proud of it.
We're here to explore what it means to live out our faith as introverts, find peace in community, purpose in service, and strength in stillness.
We are not psychologists or theologians, just two guys who overthink for fun and decided to hit record while doing it. In today's episode, we're diving into encouraging church leaders to support introverts. So, grab your coffee, settle in, and join us on this quiet journey of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, please open our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to your word. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for joining us on today's episode. We have two very special guests with us today. And you know what? I'm going to let them introduce themselves. So let's give it up for this young man right here.
I don't know about young. My name is Jeff Marco. I am the senior pastor at the First Church of the Nazarene over on Sauncey. I've been in pastoral ministry for about 25 years now. I started out in youth ministry, and then I think I got demoted to a senior pastor. I still have a heart for young people. I've been married for 33 and a half years. Wow. Have two adult children and two grandchildren, which are the absolute joy and delight of my life. I'm also a licensed counselor in the state, so I'm really looking forward to talking about being an introvert. I am an introvert as well, a proud introvert, mm-hmm. but I'm looking forward to this topic today.
Thank you for joining us, Jeff.
Yeah. Good to be here.
Well, my name is Father Alvin Chuma. I am the priest in Umbaga, St. Mary's Umbaga, Holy Name of Jesus and Happy, and also the chaplain and director at the Catholic Student Center in Canyon. I have been in the diocese since June of 2021, which is also in America, of June of 2021. Before that, I served as priest in South Africa as well as in Zimbabwe. And I just love being in the Texas Panhandle, which always brings in wonderful people, brings in tumbleweeds and interesting weather.
Mm-hmm. And Father, are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert?
So I find myself in an island here of introverts as an extrovert. So that will be rather interesting.
But you work with a lot of introverts, I know.
Yes, I do. Yeah, yeah. Yes, I do.
Well, very good. Thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
So we're going to go ahead and jump in. Obviously, in ministry and, I mean, in the world in general, we're going to see a lot of introverts. We're going to see a lot of extroverts. We already know that our introverts tend to kind of sit on the sidelines and just kind of observe and kind of see how things work and see where they fit. And sometimes we're afraid to even jump in and find our place because of those reservations. So I guess let's go ahead and start with from your all's experience, especially as pastors, but Jeff, you as an introvert, and then Father Alvin, you working with introverts. How well do you think most churches understand introversion?
As an introvert, I think I have a unique perspective on the situation of having introverts and extroverts in your congregation. How do you kind of balance both of those things? You know, knowing that the introvert needs to be alone in order to be able to be with people, but then also knowing that the extrovert needs to be with people so they can handle time alone, you can structure meaningful events. I think you can structure meaningful ministries with that fit both of those styles. You know, I think introverts sometimes they get kind of a bad rap that we don't like people and or that we're so shy and we sit back. When people find out that I'm an introvert, how do you do that and pastor a church? How do you do that and stand up in front of a congregation and preach and greet people and all that? And I tell them, it's not that I don't like people. I love being with people. I need all of Sunday afternoon, though, to recover from having been with people all Sunday morning. Right. And so I can be with people. I like people. I love being with my people. But then I do need those times of refreshing. And so I think knowing that about the introvert allows us then to kind of structure, again, ministries, opportunities, even fellowship. How do we structure that in such a way that the introvert can be there, can participate, but then also has those moments of being able to recharge? So I think it's important for us to be able to think about that at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said, Jeff, on the experience as an introvert, and that's very, very true. In my various assignments here and also in South Africa and Zimbabwe, I've been in various communities that have the gift already of recognizing that element, both extroverts and introverts, recognizing we need to cultivate a room for both. And I've been in communities that have struggled with that. So I think, just to perhaps answer your question, it really depends on the community's education in that element with regards to, are they able to recognize or create a space for the introverts as well as the extroverts, but most importantly, creating a space for the introverts. As extroverts, we jump right in. No worries. And then we start thinking about it as we jump in. But with introverts, they actually almost at times need to be encouraged or welcomed. Rather than encouraged, welcomed. Mm-hmm. Encouraged is almost like a pushing.
Right.
But a welcome is, you're free to remain where you are, but you're also free to step forward. Mm-hmm. That's very important.
Yeah.
I do think that people's emotion or their bandwidth on understanding the topic, you know, if people are familiar with introverts and how they think and how they operate, as well as extroverts, I think that goes a long way in plugging people into the right places and the invitation and how all that works and how all that comes together. And, and you know, places that have no bandwidth for that or don't understand that at all, it's obvious.
Yeah. I think sometimes, I mean, it's obvious, you know, when pastors and their staff understand the struggles that introverts face. I mean, it's obvious when they don't. Our hope was with this podcast that people could be more aware, right? And so far, the feedback that we're receiving has been positive as it relates to that.
Good.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing.
Robert. So on that topic, as pastors and ministry leaders, if there's other pastors or ministry leaders that are watching and maybe they're not, like, it hasn't crossed their radar, do you have any suggestions for, like, how maybe ministry leaders could better incorporate introverts into ministry places or just within the church at large?
Well, I think both elements of extroversion and introversion need to be cared for. And so in our churches, for example, we would do something like praying the rosary together. And that helps, at least before the Eucharist, before Mass, that helps to create that space of prayer, contemplative prayer, that space where people can gather. And that would give that space for an introvert to come in and just have this gentle easing into the Eucharistic celebration.
Right.
And then after that, to have coffee and donuts for the extroverts. But also, funny enough, for maybe one would think of the social introverts, the intentional gatherer, who may not necessarily, yes, would need places to recharge themselves in terms of alone, but they may like smaller groups, and therefore that type of thing, like coffee after Mass, could help.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about this question coming into today, and I was thinking about our typical Sunday morning, kind of what we do at First Church. Obviously, we have 5 doors into our building, and so we have greeters on those doors. Well, you're probably not going to put the introvert as a greeter, right? So when you're creating your greeting team, even then, you're talking about places of ministry, you're probably not going to put somebody who's certainly an extreme extrovert, you're not going to put them on the greeting team, because they can open a door, but they may not be the most warm and welcome as you're coming into the building, which you kind of want that as you're coming in. Mm-hmm. Where an introvert could serve well, though, we serve breakfast. You were talking about coffee and donuts. We have a team that comes in and they make the coffee and they make cinnamon rolls on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm.
I'll be there next week.
There you go. All right. Well, that's a great place to put the introvert is in the kitchen. Yep. There's just a small team that's in there, and they're not isolated, but they're not in the public. They're not in the public view, but both groups are serving. You've got a group of people serving on the door who get to connect and greet and meet with people, who are talking to people. They thrive on that. That energizes them. Then you've got the group in the kitchen who is making the cinnamon rolls, and they're being energized because they're not in the public eye, and yet they're being able to serve as well. And so I think having both opportunities to serve, just thinking through a typical Sunday morning of how do you plug these different personalities in, being very intentional about having those kinds of opportunities to serve, I think is really important.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, there's the bubbly, that personality maybe that's what you see first. But I also think, you know, introverts work really well. I mean, you're a counselor. It's like we're great listeners. On a small one-to-one dynamic, we're very likely to listen well and to give really good feedback if someone, you know, needs it like that. Or even if you're working in the kitchen, hey, could I refill your coffee? I mean, there's the servant's heart that, right, you know, that kind of comes along with it as mm-hmm. well, so. Yeah.
You know, one thing that popped in my head in this conversation is, I wonder how many churches actually have a contemplative room or a introvert room where, you know, if I'm going to a big church event and I need to get away, where can I go?
Yeah.
To just chill, to just recharge my battery.
Mm-hmm. My picture was where you have coffee. It was like a little phone booth. It was just an introvert room, and they go in there and, I'm better. Yeah. There's like oxygen pumped in.
Right. Yeah. You know, for me, at St. Mary's Cathedral, when we have a big event, I'm very grateful that I have keys to the Knights of Columbus room, because if I need to recharge, guess where I'm going?
Yeah.
I'm going to that room.
Yeah.
So I can do some recharging.
Yeah.
Well, have y'all ever experienced a church environment that made introverts feel particularly welcomed or valued?
No. To answer the question simply, no, I don't know that I've ever really recognized a church being very intentional about ensuring that the introvert has that kind of a space. You know, I really think a lot of it, certainly the church leadership needs to be aware that there are introverts and extroverts. But I also think that the introvert needs to be aware that it really is, this is how God created us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that it's okay. It doesn't mean that we hate people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we hate being around us. It's not what it means. It means that we need to be aware, you know, you were talking about your social battery. When I need to step away, it is okay for me to step away. And that doesn't mean that I'm bad. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that I'm sinning. It doesn't mean that I don't like people. It just means that I know myself, and I know that I need to step away. And so, again, you were talking about having keys to a different room. Yeah. And I'm glad I have keys to my building. I can go into my office and hide for a little bit if I need to. But, you know, could the introvert see an opportunity to take the trash and go out to the dumpster, mm-hmm. you know, a 5-minute breather to get away from the crowd, and mm-hmm. and they're able to serve, but they're by themselves. And even if it's running to the dump, you know, going to the dumpster.
I've done that many times.
Right. You know, I think the introvert can be aware of that. But to the question, have I been in worship services or churches or other events like that where the introvert is really thought of? Probably not. And I would say we have, I'm sure in the Catholic Church, you guys have big denominational meetings. We have big denominational meetings. Some people, that's their highlight of the year. They get to go and be around a room of 250 people in church meetings all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, I look forward to going back to the hotel at night. I can be there in that setting. I can be there in that room. But even that setting is not engineered for the introvert. Mm-hmm. We're designed to be together in this large space. We're designed to be together, pastors interacting, lay members interacting, we're voting, we're doing all kinds of things. It is not designed for me. So that's a very draining day, and I love it, mm-hmm. but boy, I cannot wait to get back to the hotel. So I don't know that we have done a great job of intentionally thinking about the introvert in those kinds of settings.
Mm. As an extrovert, I would say of the various parish communities that I've experienced, yes and no. Yeah. So to varying degrees, and there's always room, lots of room for improvement, but there's also a lot that is being done. So for example, the ministers of hospitality, the ushers, just them welcoming that in its sense, like for the introvert who may not necessarily speak to anyone else at that gathering, that connection is a connection to that community at that time, outside of the Eucharist. And so you do have those elements, but there's room for improvement. There's a Eucharistic prayer that I love. The Eucharistic prayer is prayer four of various prayer four. And it's Jesus who went about doing good. And there's a part that says, open our eyes to the needs of our brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Inspire within us words and actions to comfort those who are labored and are burdened, etc., etc. But open our eyes. So it's really in our journey of faith, in our pilgrim journey, as church, helping each other to open our eyes to the needs, not only of those outside to the larger community, which is important, but also members of the community, which sometimes we can overlook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree what both of you said. And I think as an introvert, I think on the flip side of all of it, one of the things that I appreciate about church is that as an introvert, I do know that I need to get out of only not leaving my house, but to be in community and be like, this day is meant for community. And this means that probably I'm going to be working from somewhat of a deficit, and that's good for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to develop that muscle. And even if the Lord wired me a particular way, there's still that other side of me that if I don't exercise, it goes into atrophy, and that's the worst thing for me. I don't want to cater to just that side of me because that social development needs to be there as well. And so I think on both sides, the church there are times it could do better in like, hey, here's a space, here's a ministry, here's an area. For us, as the introvert, it's also just good exercise to get out there and not be comfortable. Yeah. So,
you know, in one of our previous episodes, one of our guests mentioned how, you know, for the introvert, being in those large social situations is uncomfortable. But we believe that God has called us to challenge ourselves. And I mean, God's going to call us to be uncomfortable, but he's going to provide us a way to get through it. Mm-hmm. On the other side of it, our guest mentioned for the extrovert, being in small groups or even in, you know, going to like a silent retreat or something where you're not around a lot of people, that can be a challenge for them too. Right. Right. And so, Jeff, you had mentioned we need to do a better job of training our church staffs on extroversion and introversion, because if we do, they're going to be more aware of it and they're going to be thinking of ways of how we can be all-inclusive for our extroverts and our introverts. So with that said, I think, because, I mean, look at Jesus, right? Was Jesus an introvert or an extrovert? He was probably both, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could be around large groups,
right,
but he also had to go off to pray by himself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He had to recharge his battery.
Yeah.
And so I think we're all called to do the same, go outside our comfort zones, challenge ourselves, so that way we can understand each other better and be more unified in our church communities.
Yeah. So for either one of you, Jeff or Father Alvin, how can introverts advocate for themselves for either more inclusive, balanced ministry models, or maybe just for a particular ministry that they'd like to see in the church? What would be the best way maybe to approach that?
Okay, well, as a leader and as an extrovert, I think it's important, especially for those introverts who are already involved in the structure of the church, to recognize what could be done more. And to say, okay, well, in our community, I have recognized there is this need. Can we? Or also, because as introverts, you would have the ability to recognize maybe the other introvert who's sort of like disappearing into the corner. Mm-hmm. You are able to go to them in a very gentle way, like welcome them, you know, journey with them, and at an appropriate time, whenever they are ready, to say, well, would you like to do this? Would you like to get involved in serving others in the kitchen or something like that? Something that you know would not make the extrovert leave the church for the rest of his or her life. But, you know, to say, okay, I am now engaged, I'm now plugged in, and I feel I belong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the idea of encouraging the introvert to be able to speak up on their behalf, to advocate for themselves. Do we, as leaders in the church, are we approachable? Are we willing to listen to that and then to hear what they're having to say? But I think just creating a culture where we can be who we are. We can be who God has created us to be. And if I have a need, or if I would like to maybe have some more, not privacy, but be able to step away a little bit in an area of serving or ministry, are we open to hearing and receiving that kind of input? So I think a lot of it goes to us as leaders and the culture that we are setting and establishing. Do our people feel like they can come to us and express their needs, as you were saying? I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. And that means that you have to challenge yourself for the introverts that are listening. But what about those introverts that maybe are a bit timid and shy? And, you know, because introverts, we tend to get into our head, right? Like, oh, well, if I say something, then they're going to hate me, or they're going to retaliate against me if I criticize something that they're doing. Or what about those individuals? What about those people that maybe are still in that journey of learning how to express themselves?
I know from the pulpit, from the platform, I have on a fairly regular basis, I tell people I'm an introvert. So even leadership having that kind of vulnerability, I think, could encourage, oh, this is something we can talk about. This is something that we can communicate. So I think if leadership is willing to talk about whether, and this is an introvert-extrovert podcast, but if we can talk about our own struggles, then I think that creates a culture where it's okay. I don't have to feel afraid. I don't have to feel ashamed. We can talk about mental health. We can talk about our different personality styles. And so if me as the pastor, one of the leaders, if I talk about being an introvert, then hopefully that would let the introvert in the congregation know, especially one that's maybe more timid or maybe a little afraid, well, he just talked about being an introvert, so I guess it's okay for me to say something about it. Likewise, then, if they know I'm an introvert, maybe they would then feel more comfortable to come to me even and say, I'm glad you talked about it. Now I feel more free to have a conversation about it. So again, I think us as leaders, we can set a culture, create a culture where it's okay to talk about these differences that we do have so that the one in the back of the room who's trying to hide into the corner or kind of hide into the wall, they might feel, okay, I can't talk. It's being talked about up there. I can talk about it here.
Yeah.
And I like what you say, Jeff, with the whole thing of, you know, get people to know, get people to talk about it. We live in a wonderful time in terms of science and what psychology has presented to us. And sometimes we do not do enough in terms of embracing that reality, because, you know, we have the ability to understand who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, and also to understand ourselves from a psychological perspective. We are very unique. There's never downing that down, you know, drumming that down. But also at the same time, psychology does give us insights. And it's very important, I think, that we as a church community do embrace that wonderful information, that wonderful treasure that science is giving us, and then to use that to help each other on our journey of faith.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
As you were saying that, Father Alvin, the thought occurred to me that, you know, if an introvert that is maybe not as outspoken as, say, another one, or doesn't feel comfortable going to their pastor to talk about where they see a need or where they want to be involved or where they're struggling, I would also encourage them to maybe reach out to a volunteer that you know that's active in the church, and maybe they can speak on your behalf or talk you through how to approach it. At one point in my life, I was not as involved in the church as I am now, and that too was in part because of, you know, the fear of getting involved and having to talk to people. And now that I am comfortable, I don't have a problem going to our pastor and saying, hey, I've talked to people.
Right.
This is what's going on. What can we do?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage you, again, to go outside your comfort zone. But if you need help, ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Right. Because there are other people that you can talk to that that can kind of help you along.
Yeah, I agree. And I would add, just, you know, for in defense of our pastor friends, that if you come with an idea, you also come with the willingness to jump in and be a part of that idea.
Exactly.
Not, here's an idea, I need you to find the person to do it and foot the bill. And but come with, like, the ability to say, hey, and I'm willing to, like, jump in and help as well.
Yeah. One of my expectations for my staff in previous positions was, if you have a concern about something, come to me, but don't come to complain.
Yeah.
Come with a solution.
Come with a solution.
Yep, yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love hearing you need to. Mm-hmm. I don't need to. I mean, this is something maybe the Lord has laid on your heart. Mm-hmm. Don't come and say you need to. No, I have my ministry.
Yes.
Where's yours? But again, for the introvert, that can be very scary to think about either heading up a ministry or starting a ministry. So I just think creating a culture where it's safe to talk about these differences that we do have is really important. And that starts from leadership.
Yeah.
And if I may be at liberty, the extrovert jumping in. Mm-hmm. One thing, like, sometimes, okay, I've come into a new church community, and yes, that's the pastor or the priest. And I'm like, well, I'm maybe going to them, may not be comfortable doing that. Look for the leadership structure of that community. So in our churches, we have parish councils, you know, at least when you say, okay, if I do not have necessarily a friend or family member or someone whom I think I can approach that person, maybe to start there, you know, or like if it's a different denomination, to look for the structure of that church and say, okay, whom can I go to? And even if I do not know, and on that day there were various readers, maybe there was the music director, and you thought they did a wonderful job, that's a connection.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a very good point. In your all's opinion, what would an ideal introvert-friendly church look like to you? Jeff, you got ideas.
An ideal introvert-friendly church. That's a great question. I think I've said this now probably a couple times, but just an awareness that we are different and that it's okay that we are different. And I'm not wrong. I'm not bad. The extrovert is not wrong. The extrovert's not bad. We're just different. And so while I don't know that we can structure buildings or structure services, now I will say this. For the introvert, and I don't know in the Catholic Church how this is done in Mass, but I know in some of the other churches I've been a part of, there's a greeting time during, you know, stand up, turn around, and shake four hands. Mm-hmm. Say, for the introvert, I don't want to do that, right? If I want to shake your hand, I'll shake your hand, but I don't want to have to go around the room and introduce myself. So yeah. I think that's one thing. If we're creating an introvert-friendly worship service or space, get rid of that. Let's just stop doing that. That's the introvert. That's a personal preference. I know that. I said, Jeff, you sound so unfriendly. No, I am friendly, but on my terms. So I don't know that we can do that necessarily for, you know, creating rooms and those kinds of things. But I think having an awareness that we are created differently. And I know one thing that we do when we have a work day around the church, we'll get people to come out and help us, you know, clean up the property and do other kinds of things. As an introvert, when I create the work day list, there are projects on there that are designed for me, the introvert. We need the weeds picked out front. That's a great introvert job. I will go out. I don't have to be with anybody. I can just go out, but I'm serving the church. But then there are rooms that need to be decluttered. Well, that takes a group of people. And so it's so interesting because obviously I won't put this is an introvert job. This is an extrovert job. But you watch who signs up for those different jobs on the day when you come in on the work day. And they will group together. The introverts will find that kind of the jobs that may be done in isolation or in smaller groups, and the jobs that need to be done with larger groups, they will gather together. And I just kind of stand back and I grin because I could already predict who was going to do those particular jobs. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, being aware that you have both individuals in your congregation, you can set up days like that for there's introvert jobs, and they're going to naturally gravitate towards it. I don't have to put anything on there. And then you're going to have the extroverts. They're going to naturally gravitate towards the more social jobs. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I think that would be, for me, kind of creating an introvert-friendly space. Where can the introvert plug in, but also where can the extrovert plug in? Mm-hmm. And we're all accomplishing the mission. And then maybe I'll decide to stick around for lunch. I don't know. We'll see. But there are ways for both personality types to serve. So
yeah. I like how you say to where the introverts have a place to plug in as well as the extroverts. And just to sort of build on that, I think that we need to create a sense of home. Mm-hmm. Because the church actually is already the beginning of your forever home. This is the beginning of us coming together as the body of Christ, as the kingdom of God here already on earth, but looking into eternity with God and the community. Mm-hmm. So it's not a case of after I leave this earth, I shed this mortal coil, I say to you all, okay, thank you, that's good, I'm good, that's it. But instead, this is my forever home. And so allowing those people to, everyone, all of us to say, okay, this is my home. How can I be? Mm-hmm. And one of the strong aspects of helping me to be able to accept the introvert or the extrovert is also to create within me a sense of welcoming all those who are different. The cultural diversities, the different groups, the different race groups, all those type of, the more I can welcome the easily different, the more I am able to then say, okay, I have created within me a sense of being open and looking at the other. Mm-hmm. And therefore I can now look and say, okay, this person is different because they recharge their batteries in this way rather than I do it in this way. How can I best be at service to them?
And Father, let me just jump on that. You made a great point. As the introverted pastor, as the introvert leader, I need to minister to the extrovert. Mm-hmm. It's very easy for me to minister to the introvert. Mm-hmm. They're like me. We I don't have to say anything. We can do our jobs, and I could be in the building all day long and never have to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm fine with that. But I do have to now lead and pastor and minister to the extrovert. And so talking about kind of celebrating those differences, how as the introverted pastor then do I minister to the extrovert? Mm-hmm. Well, they need my time. They need me to have a conversation with them. They need to know that they are valued by me. And so that is an intentionality on my part to make sure that I go and have that conversation with them. Or I, talking about staff, I poke my head into the, I've got an extrovert on my staff. I don't know how he survives, but that's him and I'm me. And but I know that he needs me to come. He needs me to come into his office. He comes into my office all the time because he needs that. But he needs to know I love him and care about him as well and his uniqueness and celebrating that. So I am intentional at least once a day about going into his office and having a conversation with him. And likewise, mm-hmm. it would be the same with members of our congregation or our community, especially if we're in leadership, being very intentional to minister to those that are wired differently than we are. So that's mm-hmm. a great point about celebrating that, being aware of that as well.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with how your particular church is structured as a whole. And it's not a science necessarily, or in a perfect world, you might not be able to fill every one of those spots with the right temperament. But going, you know, the soundboard, live stream, all those areas, an introvert would probably be really good at, because I've spent a lot of time in those booths. And so it's like, and knowing those jobs and what particular temperament might fit best there. But then, and I know, again, this depends on the size of the church you have, and it doesn't all fall on the pastor. It also falls on staff, but also just those of us in the seats that go, hey, I know this person, and they're really talented at this, and you probably have not even seen them, and they're not on your radar. But if you ever have a need for XYZ, this person, and just give them that name,
mm-hmm.
I promise you, as a ministry leader, that's glorious. Like, I would take that all day long.
Right.
So being able to know the people and know the positions and go, man, how can I bring all this together? I think that is introvert and extrovert friendly. It doesn't cater to one side or the other. It's just like, who best fits this?
Right.
And let's put them there.
Yeah.
So in all of this, to sort of bring it all together, you think, are there strategies that you would recommend to help introverts manage social fatigue in healthy ways?
Be aware that you are an introvert. Mm. Know that you're an introvert and know what that means. Again, that doesn't mean that you can't be around people. It doesn't mean you don't like people. It means that you need to be by yourself. You need alone time in order to recharge so that you can handle being around large groups of people. And so I just think being aware that that's what it takes. And so whatever that may be, if it's reading a book, if it's playing video games, if it's taking a walk, whatever it might be that can help you recharge that battery so that you, as an introvert, so that you then can be effective for the kingdom, effective in your ministry role, just being aware of what does recharge you, what drains you. I think being aware of that as well. So not just what recharges you, but what drains you. Because I can be in a very small group of people and it's actually recharging. So even being around people, mm-hmm. depending on who it is and the setting, can actually be recharging. So I don't, as an introvert, I don't have to be by myself to recharge, but I can be in a small group of people that's draining as well. Yeah. So knowing what's draining, I know myself well, still learning, but I know myself a lot better now. What is draining and what is recharging, and then intentionally carving time into your schedule to make sure you are recharged so that you can be effective when the time comes for you to minister, maybe in the extroverted world. Mm-hmm. So
I really cannot say too much there.
Why not?
You know, I really concur with what you say. I echo it. And something that I do tell people, especially people who are caring for others who are sick and they find themselves introvert or extrovert, draining, I say, in a world where the calendar sort of rules my life, make an appointment with yourself, like deliberately write a time so that you can say, when somebody calls and says, I need you for this. And you won't be lying. You'd be like, I'm unavailable. I have an appointment. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't need to say with self, but I have an appointment.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
So I have a bonus question for you. So we've talked about introverts going into the church world, so into a place where maybe we're less comfortable. You come from a religious community.
Yes.
Into the priesthood. So what's the opposite of that for an extrovert than to go into, it was a monastic community, right?
It was an apostolic community. So okay. it was a community that went out. So, yep. But the interesting part is during my training and also working with the other priests, these were the oblates, mm-hmm. we were always encouraged to be in our sharings, in our gatherings, to be aware of the introverts, to actually not just quickly jump and say, yes, I can answer that. I can do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Create a space. Create a space.
It's yep. beautiful.
Good. I like it.
So thank you for joining us on this episode of The Introverted Apostle. Our guests have been Father Alvin Schuma and Pastor Jeff Marco. And we thank you guys for joining us. It was a great conversation, and we very much appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the invitation. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And to the rest of you, remember, even a whisper can move mountains.
Yeah, so that compares. So I do. I mix mm-hmm. in nice. Some of the spiritual.
I love it.
Now, if I've got clients that are Christians, obviously I'll be very overt with biblical references. But
sure,
sometimes they're getting biblical counsel and they don't even know where it's coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
Sneak it in on them.
Yeah. Ninja counseling.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I like that. Maybe I should get a sweatshirt that says that. Better watch out.
So for either one of you or both of you, how can introverts advocate for themselves?
Oh, hold on.
Yep.
We got to train.
All right.
Woo, woo.
Good ears.
That one I cannot get off.
Yeah. No matter what we do. Yeah. We should just work it into the bit.
Right.
Johnny Cash in the background. Yes. I hear a train a-coming. It's rolling down
Father
the
Tony
bend.
Father Tony kind of did that whenever we said, oh, we got to stop. It's a train. Father Tony said, but I like trains. I said, I do too, but not during a podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think so. No, 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 no. I don't think so. No, 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 no. It's never, ever, 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 ever gone.